B-Pod Studios.
Zolak and Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is your home for every Patriots game. Live from training camp. Sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL. It's Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Should have brought a jacket today.
Yeah.
It's a little breezy here.
I didn't need it yesterday, and I wore it anyway, and today I need it, and I didn't bring it.
Say,
idiot. It only takes
one person.
Well, you know what it is? We're at elevation.
Dennis Knudsen ruined this. Like, when they were setting up today, he goes, it's a perfect day, gorgeous day down here. And you jinx it. It's like when a game, you know, first quarter of a game and it's moving fast, and I look at Bob and I'm like, wow, this game's moving fast. Capella goes, hey, you blew it. This game's going to be 4 hours now. You know? So Dennis ruined it today by getting here and saying it was gorgeous out.
Yeah.
And the wind picked up.
Yeah, the wind has picked up. But we are, again, outdoors. We are at Patriots training camp in Foxborough. It is day number two, and practice number two is underway. This hour of coverage from training camp is brought to you by Roach Brothers. So there's a little bit of news on the quarterback front, and it's not Mac or Cam directly related, but it is this. According to The Athletic and according to Jeff Howe, Jarrett Stidham, a guy that we have spent many hours talking about on this show, and the amount of time we've spent talking about Jarrett Stidham does not match his playing time and his contributions to the New England Patriots.
Correct.
Right? So we've got to, you know, sort of close the book maybe here on Jarrett Stidham. Jeff Howe's lead on his story last night was Jarrett Stidham's summer might be over before it started. The Patriots quarterback has been experiencing pain in his right shoulder and back while throwing the football, according to sources. Surgery has been noted as a possibility. It remains unclear how much more time he'll miss. That sounds like the end of Jarrett Stidham in New England. That's how it sounds to me. That's my opinion.
Well, at this point, given the timeline, and if this is true, I mean, Jeff's got this thing nailed, and it's back and it's shoulder related. Like, from what? You threw the ball well in OTAs. You threw the ball well in minicamp, by all accounts. Nobody saw any issues. Nobody talked about having any issues. I never assumed there was anything wrong with him. Stuff I heard, he's pretty good. He's going to compete somewhat. And then next thing you know, he's on PUP. Next thing you know, Jake Delagala is... That's his name, right? Jake Delagala.
Yeah, Delagala.
He was here before.
He's here.
6'7", big boy. Walking out to practice early today. When'd they pick him up last night? What time?
Jake Delagala?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
It was like after 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah, it was announced and reported last night.
What, they send a helicopter and a private jet to get him? I mean,
no, he's been here for days, I bet.
Okay.
Which means they knew about Stidham days ago, right?
Did Green Bay
probably made the call
yesterday?
Oh, when did he get cut?
At Green Bay yesterday.
He was. He was there yesterday.
We were talking about the Aaron Rodgers stuff.
Oh, I didn't realize he was still on.
Because I look at Jim, I'm like, hey, that's the guy that was here. And Jim's like, yeah, he was on Green Bay. Green Bay released him yesterday. And then all of a sudden, he's out here at 8:30, 9 o'clock, warming up. That was a quick turnaround for him.
All right, so Jake Delagala actually got released 2 days ago.
2 days ago. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. So it. Dear God, that is gonna stop us dead in our tracks every time it happens. And again, I have to apologize to the listeners for that happening. But what it is the ground beneath us shakes violently. And
there's many explosions going on caused by Brad, this guy Brad, that works in construction here. We were with him in the elevator yesterday.
We were talking to one of his colleagues.
And his friend sold him out and said, did you guys feel the building shake? And we said, yes. They go, well, he blew something up by accident. So he's down there like a nut job running around with dynamite somewhere, just throwing them everywhere.
Now, again, I don't know much about building construction, especially a large facility like this with all these steel girders and all this concrete. But is that supposed to happen? Well, what just happened again?
You know what scares me?
10 seconds ago?
Because something's been added that wasn't here before. If you look at the top of that ramp, you see those cables?
Yeah. No, those aren't new.
Those are new.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they weren't there last year or the year before.
Yes, they were. They were there, and you know what they used to hold? They used to hold the giant banners and advertisements on these ramps. So that's what they're there for. Those are not new.
And they may have been pulling our leg yesterday because I don't think...
I'm serious. They've been there.
Okay. I don't think they routinely use dynamite when they're doing building renovations.
That's what Yosemite Sam uses.
I don't think they're putting sticks of dynamite into the wall for demo purposes.
Well, there's a member of the fire department here, and... You see him. He's with Foxborough Fire.
Oh, yeah.
He had one of his colleagues was inside yesterday. And when the fire department shows up and they're wearing the hard hat, you know, the technical gear, that has me a little concerned. And then, first of all, he's here to supervise and make sure they don't blow the place up.
The crunch berries here.
Foxborough Fire. Yeah. I don't know. That has me concerned when the fire department feels the need to be here.
It's because of the welding. There's sparks. So they got to have the fire department.
And again, the ground violently shaking beneath us.
Yeah.
It only lasts about 5 seconds. When it happens, it's a jolt.
Why don't you talk some smack to this iron worker, though? See how that works out for you.
No way, dude.
You want me to get him on? You want me to get him over and ask what the hell's going on?
Union guy. No way.
Nope.
Kick your ass.
Nope.
He's one of those. He's probably got one of those metal lunch boxes with the top that flips and clips.
He don't need
the
no
double
lunch.
Clip. He's got a couple dents in it.
Why is the ground shaking? You got any idea?
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
Okay.
Whoa,
All right.
Whatever you need, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. That's just a truck driving by. Right.
No idea. Not my gig today. That's someone else's job. Okay. So where were we? Stidham.
Stidham and Delagala.
So is he done? Is this the end of Stidham here in New England?
It kind of feels like it.
It feels like it. What's the point here?
Well, I mean, Belichick said this morning, Jared's going to be out for a while. But he didn't get into it, but it's like, he's going to be out for a while. We're keeping him here.
I think most of us felt that he was not going to have a track to be the starting quarterback on this team at any point anyway.
I agree with that.
I think the hope for him was to develop into being a solid backup. Yeah, to be Scott Zolak.
Yeah.
Long-standing, long-term... institutional knowledge of the offense, guy you can turn to if you've got an injury at quarterback.
I wonder. This helps Hoyer.
Absolutely.
This helps Brian Hoyer.
I would agree with
this. This has nothing to do with Delagala. Delagala's here to be a camp arm. Brian Hoyer is now.
Again, going to collect another NFL salary this year.
But it's the perfect scenario that you thought about because you asked, why did they go back and sign Brian Hoyer, not to be a coach, but to be a player, to help tutor the young kid, but then you still got Stidham, you know? So the kid would start, Stidham would be the backup, Brian would dress as the three, or he would not dress every day, every game, and he would just help tutor the young kid. Now that's good. He's going to be on the sideline with him when he plays. So it'll help him see some things, the way he did with Brady.
Mm-hmm.
So this helps Brian Hoyer.
I would agree.
A lot of people thought, well, Hoyer, odd man out, not so fast.
Looks like it's going to maybe solidify his job and make sure he earns another paycheck in the NFL this year.
Why would you say it's
keeps
nice.
Working.
It's nice that Jones, Delagala, who's only been here a day, and Hoyer, all three came out and actually warmed up before practice.
So here's my question about all this. The fact that they signed Delagala and got him here in a day's time, that sort of maybe kills that theory that they were keeping Stidham out just to avoid taking up reps with him. Because now they have a fourth quarterback on the field, too.
Yeah.
So that wasn't the case.
No, I was just thinking.
I'm just saying, now that we can circle back to that, that probably wasn't what was happening.
Right.
He's got something going on, whether it's just the arm or anything in addition to that. Who knows? Early observations of the day, though, Cam and Mac. They haven't done anything yet, okay? They're just out there throwing the ball. But once again, Mac out here very early and Cam out here later.
You have four quarterbacks here at camp. Three warmed up today, one didn't. I find it stunning that one of 32 teams, you got a battle for quarterback and a 15-year veteran who's got a young kid on his heels, lacks a sense of urgency to even come out and warm up and show that, okay, I'm first one on the field. You're in a battle here, man. He came out and went right into the stride stretch, and he's dancing. He may be on a pitch count, or it's an injury. I don't know. I don't know what goes on underneath. I don't know what they tell him. Maybe they tell him to do this. I'm just used to Brady, Hoyer, Garoppolo, even Brissett over these. Half hour before everybody.
Putting in work.
Just
throwing, that is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jones did it. Delgado did it. Hoyer did it.
Mac Jones has thrown a lot of footballs outside of the practice.
He's still throwing right
now. Last 2 days.
Even during the drills here, while the next guy's going, Jones is still taking his drop. He's like throwing little darts. Just
he throws it a lot.
Yeah. So it becomes second nature. It's second nature,
So we did not see Cam Newton make a single throw prior to the practice today.
No.
And things are just sort of ramping up a little bit.
Second day in a row that has happened.
2 days in a row.
So it's odd. It's odd at this level. I'm sorry.
It has stood out to you.
Yeah.
I wonder if it stands out to anybody else. I wonder if it matters to anybody else down on the field level, the guys that are down there coaching and watching this play out. 617-779-0985, your Patriots thoughts. And we will continue with some more Patriots thoughts, including the latest on Stephon Gilmore. Should the Patriots have an appreciation for Gilmore, how he's handling the situation? We'll get into that. We are live from Patriots training camp here on Zolak and Bertrand once again today. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And Bertrand at training camp, sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL. It's Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I know we had asked you a lot about Stephon Gilmore, and he's since that time has said publicly he wants to be paid what he's worth and hopes something can be worked out with the team. Where does that situation stand, I guess, from the organization's perspective?
Yeah, we're not going to talk publicly about contracts.
I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down. I feel my heart start to tremble whenever you're around.
Ben Volen wrote in the Globe yesterday that it's time for the Patriots to get the contract done for Stephon Gilmore. I think we all pretty much feel that way. I think everybody wants to see Gilmore back on the field. This is happening, Gilmore not being on the practice field, not participating at a time when we've seen other players, Xavier Howard and Aaron Rodgers, sort of speak out about their situations, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Sort of air it all out a little bit. Be disgruntled, be pissed at their team.
Yep, but they're there. Deshaun Watson's there.
Volen writes
this. The team still controls you.
Yeah. Volen writes this. The Patriots could probably get by without Gilmore this year. And he's not wrong. They could get by. Just get by. They're not going to be close to their best version of themselves without him.
They can get by. They can't afford an injury.
Fair.
Jones.
Good point.
Jones or Mills goes down, you're in trouble. J.C. Jackson goes down, you're in trouble. Now, yesterday the defense kicked the offense's ass.
Yeah, they had a great day.
They're quicker. The secondary looks good. They looks like they know what they're doing. They got the calls down. Communication levels there. Gilmore throws a whole nother wrench into this offense for them if he's out there.
Well, as Volen wrote, every cornerback moved up a spot in practice yesterday. J.C. Jackson, Jalen Mills, and Jonathan Jones taking those starters reps. But he writes, a good secondary becomes elite with Gilmore. None of the aforementioned players have Gilmore's combination of size, speed, and ball skills. The Patriots may have the deepest cornerback room in the league with Gilmore as their number one guy. It says here that Gilmore probably will be disappointed if he expects the Patriots to just hand him a new multi-year deal. But then there's the references to the Brady bump and the Gronkowski bumps, and that the Patriots would look foolish, he writes. How foolish would they look if after spending all the money in the spring, they played hardball and traded their best defensive player? What's a few more million after spending $175 million? How does getting rid of your best corner help you in 2021? He says the fact that Gilmore is here keeping quiet and getting ready for the season offers plenty of evidence that the situation isn't too contentious. A resolution should be on the horizon. Volan says it needs to be resolved with the Patriots doing right by Gilmore and giving him a raise. He's doing his part. Now it's time for the Patriots to step up and do theirs. Does he deserve extra credit for not being an a-hole like Aaron Rodgers and
yes.
anyone else who is disgruntled and calling out their team?
Yes. Yes. Yep. Remember the Ty Warren stuff? Take the high road or the low road. And Warren ends up getting a nice little deal for himself because he didn't complain, didn't bitch. If you hold out and yeah, you sort of complain about your money, team's not going to work with you. I think they're more willing to work with him and keep him happy and sort of look at the books and understand it. Just like Jeff Howell told us yesterday about the Brady and Gronkowski bumps and the timing of it. End of August, August 3rd was the other one, 4th was the other one when Brady got his done. He's your best player. He's your best player on the team.
Yeah.
The guy asked yesterday, who's your superstar? Well, the problem is it's Cam from an entertainment standpoint. But if Gilmore's out there, it's Gilmore. Gilmore's your best player. He should be taken care of.
I don't disagree with that. I just wonder if the Patriots should have some deep level of appreciation for Stephon Gilmore for arriving at camp and being on PUP and dealing with a lingering injury, allegedly. If he was to get paid tomorrow, could he practice tomorrow? I'm curious. Does anyone know that answer?
I would assume so.
Right? If they showed up tomorrow and said, here's a $5 million check, no strings attached, we're bumping your salary, we're giving it to you today. Could he practice tomorrow?
We've seen it before that fixes injuries, money.
It's just, would that be a magical cure for that ailing quad of his?
That might give it an extra day just to keep up.
Yeah, no, you know what you give him?
Ah, you know what, coach, I'll be ready by Monday.
You give him the Van Noy jersey. He gets the red jersey and does some drills.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
I mean, he should be taken care of because of his level of play. I don't think that he should be taken care of because he's not turning into a guy who's, you know, being a real problem publicly. He has spoken publicly. I don't think he said anything that's out of line. He's not said anything negative about the team. He has reiterated that he wants to play here. It's none of those things. And, yes, he is present. He is in the building. But I would just say, well, that's not why he deserves the raise, though. He deserves the raise because he's played well. And as it happens with star players in this league, by the end of their deals, the deals don't look as good as they once did.
Right.
That's par for the course. 617-779-0985. Let's go to your phones. Mike and Malden, what do you have for us today?
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Mikey.
I have an idea about the quarterback situation. I remember what New Orleans did last year with Drew Brees and Hill. They rotated them in and out.
Yes.
That's what I think the Patriots might do with Newton and Jones. And that's why, Newton is.
You're going to bring Cam Newton off the bench for 3 snaps a game to run the ball.
Well,
you think Newton's going to want to do that?
I don't know. He had a lot of strengths. There's certain plays that I think that he could run. Yes, I do.
I don't think there is. I kept waiting for that last year. We saw it week one against Miami. We saw it again in week 17 when he busted out for a 40-yarder at the start of the game. And beyond that, were you blown away by Cam Newton's ability to move the ball with his feet last year?
No, and he didn't make anybody miss. I mean, he would get the yards, but
not always.
It's not old Cam, though.
Sometimes he'd just go down with the ball. And look, I'm not going to fault the guy for, ball security, but he wasn't out there like making plays with his feet to make up for what he couldn't do with his arm.
I was angry that Miami game where
there are people that believe he did, though.
Again, well, that's because the other guy never did
I'm just saying,
that's why.
How many people have pointed to the touchdowns that he scored on with his legs? How many times has that been brought up? Like
those
that
power, be, those are power like, runs inside the five.
I'm just saying,
people are talking like he's Lamar Jackson.
Like it should be tacked on as a passing touchdown. Oh, well, but you forgot about all the rushing touchdowns.
12.
Yeah, okay. Those have value. Well, they don't equal a passing touchdown in my book.
Okay, you didn't give it to the running back that time.
And I don't know that anybody couldn't have done that. That was great work by the offensive line. What did Cam do to
He's a good runner. You shouldn't say he's not a good runner. He is. I just don't know how much you value that.
He's got a feel for that inside the five.
He's a good runner.
The little drop step off the read.
He's better than most quarterbacks with the football running with the ball. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I got to give him that.
Sure. Yeah, we can give him that. No problem. Yeah. But I just don't know how valuable that is in an offense.
He's guaranteed $3 million.
And it's not all that valuable in this offense.
If Mac
that
Jones,
they want to run.
If Mac Jones beats him out, you cut him. Period.
End it.
He's a distraction if he's not the starter. He is a distraction if he's not the starter. I'm sorry. He is. I mean, here we go. We're talking about it again. Him not warming up. That is a distraction to me. From one of your young receivers out there, why aren't you out there early working with one of your young receivers? Or staying after down on that field, just throwing with Bourne or Aguilar? That's the guys you got to get on the same page with. I don't see any extra work being put in. We still got Garoppolo come out early and do it with young guys, and then keep all the young guys out after and go up and down the field in 2 minutes. I don't see any of that from this guy.
Brandon in Boston on Mac
You want
Jones.
Him to be your guy?
Please. And Cam Newton. Brandon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. So, you know, if I'm Cam Newton, I'm exhausted. You know, hopefully he's not listening to the media. But, you know, all this hype around Mac Jones, oh, he knows the offense. He's throwing pretty good. We need him to be the starter. So I'm like, all right. If I'm Cam Newton, I'm like, all right, start Mac Jones. And guess what? Game one, loss. Game two, loss. Game three, loss. Now Bill's looking over his shoulder. Cam Newton, you want to come? No, you know what? Let me sit on the bench, collect my paycheck, put Brian Hoyer in. You guys didn't believe in me.
What a competitor he'd be in that situation. Way to go, way to go win it, dude.
Brandon perfectly just described what I just told you. If he's not the starter, he becomes a distraction. A disgruntled player whose ego won't allow him to be a backup.
Well,
if he gets beaten out, he is released. And you give him the money and say, thank you for bringing energy to our locker room at a time when we kind of needed it for the last year and a half. And he give you $3 million. He's gone. It's guaranteed anyway. The extra money he makes is if he plays. It's not in the contract. It's bonuses. He's guaranteed $3 million. He's already getting his money. Give it to him. Say thank you. Appreciate your effort. It just didn't work out.
Yep.
We tried. Shoot, we gave it to you twice. Twice in a matter of 6 months. Nobody else wanted you. We gave you a chance. We gave you two opportunities, and it didn't work out. It's okay. It's okay to say that. I need a functioning guy that could pull the trigger out here for this team so this team can get going.
Oh, man, some of these are Cam plays they're running. These are totally Cam plays. Well, I can't tell you what they are, but these plays that they're running right now,
they're throws.
They're designed. Well, you'd say that. Yeah, no, they're not throws. They're designed for Cam.
You'd say
though.
It's a run?
It is. There are a lot of runs happening here, but they're runs that are designed with Cam Newton as a quarterback
in
mind.
Boy, JJ's in there.
Is he?
Yeah.
Then this is a play worth watching.
Yep. Look.
Get
to the corner.
Get to the outside.
Speed. Can't coach it.
Bolden can't get out there that fast. Not like that.
Got to get off pup first.
The fact that he's still here, that means that I can still talk about him. All right. What are we going to do? What time?
I have a question for you. You just brought up Bolden.
I lost my clock.
Real quick.
Here. What time is it, Jim?
Real quick. Are you more stunned? Are you more stunned than Bolden? Or Cam Newton is here still.
More stunned that. Well, that's a damn good question, Zoe. That's really
and that,
good.
And that's something day two of training camp, and I just stunned you with that question. Doesn't that tell you everything?
Well, Bolden, I can sort of see the case for Bolden.
Yes,
he's been here a lot of years. He knows what he knows a lot about. Again, institutional knowledge. He's, by all accounts, a good locker room guy.
Can he give you 10 carries if you need it?
In an emergency, in a pinch, yes.
Can he play all special teams?
Yes.
Can he catch the ball?
Yes, special teams adds value to him. Yes.
Okay.
But, I don't know what he is, but I can understand why he'd be in camp even after a year off. I don't understand why Cam is here.
I feel like we're wasting reps and time.
I don't understand how he got a second contract here. I don't understand any of it. I don't. So... I can't speak to that. Jake and Bill Ricker, quickly. Jake, did we meet you in the elevator yesterday?
Sure did.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, bud?
The ground is shaking again, Jake.
What's your buddy doing?
So
Brad.
What's the deal?
He's on lunch right now. He's not doing anything crazy. So
10:30, he's on lunch. Yeah. 10:20.
What time did he start the shift?
What time did he start the shift? We're here at 6 a.m.
Okay. Oh, so you're lunch.
That makes sense.
That's a union guy.
Yeah, this is the midway point of the day.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Any idea what the shaking is from?
Guys on the scoreboard putting in work.
You know, we're looking at them. They're up there. They're up there with a welding torch.
Well, they got a
fireman. I think it's causing the ground to shake.
They got a fireman up here now, which makes me kind of nervous.
I don't know what's shaking the ground, but Brad's on break, and it's not him.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, keep an eye on Brad for us. Give us a call back when he blows something up.
What? Blaming the scoreboard, guys. Yeah. Guys, they drop a light bulb, and it makes 40,000 tons of concrete shake as we're 150 feet in the air. I don't think so. Try again.
It's probably the cords that are holding up the end of the scoreboard that keeps snapping, and that scoreboard drops, and that's what shakes. And now they're trying to re-tie it up, tether it.
Use zip ties.
Yeah,
those things are magic.
Those things hold anything.
They're strong.
Yeah, they are.
Really strong.
But Dennis wishes he brought some today instead of all his clips.
Bruins free agency began yesterday, as did free agency for the entire NHL. Bruins made some signings yesterday. I hope everyone's really excited about it. You're really excited about it, Hardy?
Fired up
about their offseason?
I know you have zip ties, Dennis. Thank you.
Let's get to that coming up next, what the Bruins did.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Pats are back in the field. It's Training Camp with Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, we were aggressive today to fill the holes. Derek was a part of that, but fortunate that our ownership group, Mr. Jacobs and Cam, have said, we've got a competitive group. We're in mid, win mode, and Derek's a part of that, as is Mike and Nick and Thomas and Eric, and as well as even Tyler Lewington and Grossnick. And so players that we've added this today, Fogarty, and again, I'm trying to make sure I name them all off because they were certain areas that we wanted to address. And we have some younger players that are going to try and break through as well.
Sweeney on the signings the Bruins had yesterday, day one of free agency, which included Nick Foligno, Eric Halla, Thomas Nozek, Derek Forbort. I have that right?
Yep.
I have that right? Forbort?
Forbort.
Not Linus.
I want to call him Farcourt. Lord Farcourt.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be it. It's going to stick.
Oh, Lord.
Don't call me Linus Ullmark.
If you've got a cool name like Linus, why wouldn't you go with Linus? I don't care what your parents say. It's how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Is what it is.
It's Linus.
What'd you make of their day?
I mean, you added a goalie for $5 million, which is okay.
Starter money.
That is. And then you traded one of your guys, one of your veteran guys that was supposed to sort of be here with Swayman until you figure out what the hell's going on with Tuca. I think that's the biggest indicator from yesterday for me is that maybe they're pushing past this Tuca era.
They didn't rule it out yesterday.
I know they didn't rule it out. And they don't. I think they really don't know how the surgery is going to go, how he's going to react. So what? You need the plan. You need the plan.
So plan and move on.
I think that's kind of what they're doing.
Well, I think it's they still don't know what Swayman is, and that's one of the reasons why Tuca was still playing at the end of the season. He looked really good in the time that he played, but they don't know.
They fear Swayman. They don't know. They should know. They should know enough to say, we want to see a lot more of this.
Hey, Jimmy Garoppolo played a game.
But you need a safety
Jimmy man. Garoppolo played
okay,
two games.
Okay, so now they have it.
Jimmy Garoppolo
They signed
played
a starter at starter money.
Yeah.
And a guy who had, again, he's had injury problems, but he played last year and was good again.
I mean,
you don't give a guy $5 million a year for 4 years and not consider him
correct
a part of your goaltending duo at a minimum.
I agree with that. That's the biggest news for me yesterday that I take out of the signings is the fact you got him and you gave him the money you gave him. That means he's in the mix. He's part of it. He's part of the new plan, I think, going forward at goalie. And I mean,
I don't think they've ruled out Tuca.
Like Mike Garoppolo point. Garoppolo played a game and a game and a half. And we still, in a small sampling, but we're like, wow, this kid can play. We want to see more of him. We wanted him back in free agency, even though he went elsewhere and played. It's like the Swayman thing. I know we only got a small sampling. It's 10 games. But you kind of know the kid can play. At some point,
you kind of do. But this is the part that like, you know, the Tuca, I don't want to say haters, but the people who are, you know, less enamored with him. How's that? Don't want to admit is that as good as Swayman might be, Tuca's still probably the better goalie, even coming off of surgery mid-season, than Swayman is right now.
Given experience, you're right.
How do you know that?
Because
not based on Swayman's performance. He was terrific.
That's the way everybody. I think anybody in that sport that talks about it all agrees on that.
I think that's wrong. I think it's wrong. I think the players were wrong on this team. I think the coach was wrong on this team. I think organizationally, they're starting to become very wrong about the player because he's at a certain age and he's having hip surgery.
But everybody
based on age and surgery, it would not be unreasonable for the Bruins to say he's at the end of his contract. And we're going to get younger at that position.
We want to move in a different
direction. We're going to go to our next phase. But the Bruins in general are so afraid of moving on from players.
You did it with Chara.
We talked about it yesterday, though. It took them a whole offseason of screwing around for them to move on from Chara. They couldn't just do it. They couldn't do the clean break and say, Zdeno, we love you. You mean a lot to the organization, but we're going to do something different now.
It's a tough thing to do, to move on from a player because of age and other factors, knowing in your heart that they're still probably better at the job than anyone else. As we look down at the practice field here at the Patriots, I mean, talk about an apt metaphor here. So for the Bruins,
I know
some people still don't believe this because of his performance in pulse seasons and the fact that he's never won the cup. I still think Tuukka Rask and his teammates and in the front office, they still look at him and say, as good as Swayman is, Tuukka's still the better goalie. He's still better. That's why every single player on that team, I'm sure, wanted Tuukka in net in the postseason.
I'm not sure that he is anymore.
I mean, look at Wagner. Even the stuff Wagner told us. And even take it outside of Boston. Like, you could be jaded one way or the other here in Boston. But people across the National Hockey League to talk about him as like a top three goalie when he's right.
Right. Wagner dismissed it as like it's not even worthy of the conversation. He's like that's pretty much what he said. It's like, what's to talk about? Tuukka Rask is the goaltender. That's it. Into the playoffs, 100% or not, it's him. And I think that's the mentality that the Bruins have right now. Until proven otherwise, it's still him. So, no, we're not just going to cut him loose. Not yet.
Well, I just think that given the age, given the injury problems, given that he wasn't good at the end, it would not be unreasonable for them to move on. So if Tuukka's better and they're going to bank on that, then why?
You got to be kidding.
Why didn't they ask him to go get surgery a month and a half ago?
Right. That's fair, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why you're signing a goalie for $5 million if Tuukka's still going to be in the mix. I don't get it. I don't get that. I don't get why you're signing a goalie for $5 million if you have any hope of going to Jeremy Swayman at some point. And then they traded Vladar yesterday for a third-round pick. Does anyone find that odd?
Yep. I didn't think that was in the cards. I thought they were going to roll with Swayman and Vladar and see how things worked out, because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, too, how Vladar was good in the bubble. I said, yeah, he was okay. He was fine. But he was good enough. He was good enough to go in there and take care of half the starts if Swayman doesn't look like he's ready for being your guy two-thirds of the time.
I think it was a rather underwhelming day for the Bruins. We'll talk more about their signings, specifically their forwards and your thoughts on it. Coming up next here on Zolak and Bertrand live from Patriots training camp.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh,
Zolak and Bertrand for Patriots training camp. Practice continues on the fields below us.
They're servicing each other right now.
I'm sorry?
So there's a service period that's going on right now. This is a scout team defense, so it's a card defense.
I beg your pardon?
What are you talking about?
And after this period's over, how long is the refractory
period? Oh, my
period?
God. Okay. So the offense should look great every play here. So they're scripting plays is what they're doing. This isn't first team D. It's like third or fourth team D. And what they do is we see the coach come out. He'll hold up cards. And he'll tell the defense, this is how we want you to line up offensively so we can run our plays against you. So you're trying to make the offense look good in this period. This would not be a competitive drill. This is just a teaching drill here.
All right.
Well, see, the whole first defense is over here.
And Bill is right in the middle of it.
Yep.
Right in the middle of it all.
So the offense should look great every play.
Is Bill rocking the high socks?
It's mid-calf. It's not high.
Well, there's some high socks.
Felger gets caught in that sometimes with that button. And I'm with Felger on this. Like, somebody should design that middle button between button 2 and 3. Because sometimes you have, like, too much chest showing.
Yeah.
And then sometimes if you button it up too tight, you look like a squash on TV. No. But Bill has that mid-sock. It's not a high sock or
mid-sock.
Low sock.
Yeah.
It's mid-calf. Yeah! There he is! Yeah!
All right.
Okay. That's the guy that blows up the helmet. Comes out.
I know it is.
He gets them fired up when they come out of the locker room.
That's the guy who blows
up. He looks
up.
Like Santa Claus.
He works on the crew in the tunnel outside the Patriots locker room on game days. He blows up the big tunnel and the helmet and all that. I don't know. He's working, dude.
He's working.
That's good to be back. All right. So back to the Bruins. I thought it was an underwhelming day. Their biggest need was defense. They needed a defenseman, a real good defenseman to add to the mix. And they didn't do it. I don't feel they did that. And from a forwards perspective, they signed a bunch of guys that are bottom six guys. And they don't know if Krejci, what are they booing?
I don't know.
And they don't know if Krejci's coming back. So if they don't know if Krejci's coming back, I would say that's sort of a big problem for their offseason if Krejci then doesn't come back.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Especially with the Hall signing.
And they still don't know. And they've got Hall back.
Right.
And You
need to get Krejci done now.
You signed low-level forwards and a goalie.
You had a depth. It was a depth day for them. It's an underwhelming depth day for them.
Yeah, day one of free agency, and it's a depth day.
And you had an adjustment at goalie. You got rid of a veteran goalie. You brought in a veteran goalie. You kind of flip-flopped.
I mean, Derek Forbort is...
Lord Farquaad.
Yeah. He's not exactly a big splash from a defenseman standpoint. I guess it's a solid signing, but I don't know. I look at it and... I think it was an underwhelming day. Jay and Natick, what'd you make of the day for the Bruins?
Hey, guys, I think it was an underwhelming day as well. But on the goalie thing, I think maybe a little bit overanalyzing it. They lost Halak in pre-agency. They traded Vladar. So they were looking at having Swayman and nobody else till Tuukka came back. They had to sign somebody. But I would have much
rather see Vladar here.
I'd rather see Vladar here as a backup to Swayman is exactly what I was saying. Yeah. But that's all I had for it. Thanks, guys.
Okay, I would also say the 4 years seems extreme.
That's a commitment somewhat. 4 years, $20 million is a commitment.
Jake in the suburbs on that. Hi, Jake.
Yeah, so I don't like Ullmark's number, but I think there might be something more to this in the sense that if Ullmark and Swayman both play well and then Rask comes back, then you're set up for a situation where Ullmark might be expendable from being a tradable contract if and we've seen that around the NHL with goalies who are playing well who've been moved at the deadline. And realistically, you know, it also gives them a backup option if Swayman's not playing well. So I think they're hedging their bets quite a bit in a really positive way. But I don't like the number. I think $5 million is out of market value for someone with a track record of injury and despite his solid performances on poor teams. So.
That's sort of two things, though. If you're saying that you don't like the number, it's over market value. It's over market value, and it's a 4-year commitment. So you've said it's a tradable contract, but also over market value. So you're hoping that at some point it becomes a more tradable contract. If he continues to have injury trouble, that looks like a lot less tradable contract than maybe you think it would be. Dave is in New York. Hi, Dave.
Yeah. this guy kind of stole my thunder with the tradability issue. $5 million is outrageous. 3.5 is as far as I would have gone with this guy, or nothing. You got a chance to spend money. First of all, at some point during the season, I know we need a left shot defenseman. At some point during the season, we're going to have scoring problems. First of all, we have a second line with Taylor Hall and nobody. So, and what we've done is we've gone out and spent $750 million here, or $750,000 here, a little bit here, a little bit there, on piecemeal players. We need a left-shot defenseman that we should have kept Vladar and used Linus, whatever, his money for
Linus.
To get Ullman. To get Jeff Bezos, whatever you want to call the guy. But, I mean, we should have used that money should have been out there. 4 years, $5 million, 3.5 should have been it, and two or three on this guy. And they should have kept Vladar. Would they get a third-round pick?
Third-round pick is what they got. Third-rounder for Vladar. They could have gone Vladar as the backup to Swayman, and
yeah, that's what I said.
We would have been fine. And they could have used the $5 million on something else. And they don't know who their second-line center is as of today. It could be Krejci. They don't seem to know that, though. So if Krejci doesn't come back, then who is it? Charlie Coyle? So Coyle's your second-line center? You better hope that the injury that he was dealing with last year was what prevented him from playing well. And that he's going to come back bigger, better, stronger after surgery.
That puts more pressure on your top line.
Yeah.
Vladar being gone didn't necessarily bother me. Okay. You know, Ullmark comes in fine. Oh, what was the money? What?
$5 million a year.
And if
you're going to pay that, can't you get a shorter term?
I saw $5 million. I'm like, oh, that sounds about right for Lino. Oh, $5 million per? Oh, $20 million they're on the hook for.
How about 2 years and $10 million total?
Yeah.
Could you have cut that in half? Would he have been willing to accept that? Was there another team desperate to get him? Who dropped that ball in there? Was that Hoyer?
Yeah.
Damn.
That was a hell of a throw.
Man, he looks great out here in shorts and a T-shirt.
Good grab by Lacoste.
He really does.
Good grab
but
by Lacoste.
When you turn those lights on, forget it. Once the thing goes live, not the guy you want. Paul in Abington. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. So just the Bruins talk is good. I just had called in because I was making the comparison, you know, with Swayman and, you know, Rask being gone and bringing in this new guy. Comparing it to the Patriots, where they should have gone in the offseason, you made the comment early on, Vito, you and Zoe, about what are you more surprised with as far as either Bolden or Cam being here. And I'm with everybody else that for the longest time now that Cam is back. You know, my biggest question to Bill, if anybody's asked this, is you go out and spend all this money on defense. You spend all this money to turn around everything. And all of a sudden, now you're bringing back a guy that could only give you 8 or 9 touchdowns last year. I mean, that in its own right is ludicrous. So I just was making the comparison.
That's more of a statement than a question.
What's that?
I mean, it's more of a statement you're making
than a question. How does that relate
Nobody's
to the Bruins?
Nobody's going to ask that. You understand?
Yeah, tie that together.
No, I'm saying if somebody asks Bill, why are you bringing back? You're going all in on the pass. Why is Cam coming back? I mean, that's first and foremost. Why is he back? I don't care who they would have brought in. Anybody and everybody was better than Cam in the offseason.
Right. How does that relate to the Bruins? What's the comparison?
Well, you're talking about with Tuca being out right now, and all of a sudden now they go out and sign this other guy. You don't know what's going to happen with Tuca. I think he should just be gone. I mean, I would cut ties with him right now.
Okay. A lot of people.
I would have made that decision a while ago. But the fact is, I think
let's not compare Tuca to Cam Newton, though.
Now the fact
Now
the fact the guy went out, played hurt for you, and
Tuca doesn't deserve that.
There's some loyalty there, you know, especially with the older players that want him there. You know, us talking to Wagner, it's like, no question, you guys are insane. We sit there turn the radio off when you people talk against Tuca.
Okay.
Like, they're offended by it.
Now, the comparison, and it's a horrible one, too, but the better comparison is Tuca to Tom Brady, the guy who's been there, who's getting a little bit older, but you know can do the job and is probably the best one at the job. Are there better, more talented guys out there? Yeah. Are they on your team? You don't know. Are you willing to move on from that guy and completely cut ties with them until you know? Apparently, the Bruins aren't ready.
And they still don't know if Krejci's going to come back.
Well, right? There's no timeline, Beetle. That's what we were told. We don't have any kind of a deadline on this thing.
Hoyer's having him a day.
He's having himself a day down there.
Hoyer's having him a day. Cam's ran two keepers into the end zone, and he's flexing to the crowd.
Yeah.
And they like that.
They seem to love it.
He'd have been tackled on the floor.
The crowd seems to love it.
And the crowd seems to really enjoy that part
of the
practice.
See you week one, baby.
They really seem to like it. So good
they
for
like,
them.
They like being acknowledged.
Good for them. Good for them. All right, 617-779-0985. Red Sox ownership, are they pushing Chaim Bloom to go after Max Scherzer at the deadline tomorrow? We'll talk about that coming up right after headlines. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.